Case number 22-5253, Concert Investor LLC Appellant versus Small Business Administration and Isabella Casillas Guzman, Administrator, Small Business Administration. Mr. Tice for the appellant and Mr. Silverman for the appellees.
Morning, Mr. Tice. You may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court. Through the Save Our Stages Act, Congress offered vital aid to small businesses in the concert industry that were devastated by the pandemic. Through a series of errors, the SBA wrongly denied that aid to concert investors, easily qualifies as an eligible live performing arts organization operator. An entity is eligible as long as one of its principal business activities is to produce, organize, or manage live concerts. That describes my client to a T. Shown by extensive record evidence reflecting accepted industry usage, Concert Investor is a full-service production agency, significant organizational and managerial tour oversight. Among other things, it advances extensive financing for tours, organizes and manages the tour budgets, it hires, pays, and insures the tour staff, contracts with the artists themselves, promoters, it pays the bills for the dozens of tour service providers. We do things like stage managing, power, lighting, sound, rigging, transportation, special effects, and much, much more. In short, it puts it all together for its tours. Besides Concert Investor, every other firm on the 21 Pilots tour discussed in the briefs was a subcontractor. Based with all of that overwhelming evidence, the government was forced to shift gears in litigation and offered for the first time its unduly stringent ultimate control over all aspects definition. If that were correct, no entity at all would ever be considered a producer because different entities routinely divide ultimate control over different parts of concerts, such as ticketing and marketing versus.
Let's start with why you went from theatrical producer to live performing arts organization operator. And then part two of that question is the term produce, according to the statute, would fit both of those categories anyway, right?
Well, I'll take both. The first is that the entity, when it was not represented by counsel, submitted an application, thought that that was the category that might describe it the best. The agency's own regulations suggested, though, that once you've submitted an application, you can feel free to change it to abide better by the frequent. Number two, I don't think it's the same definition for a theatrical producer and for a live performing arts organization operator.
No, I'm not saying it's the same definition. I'm saying the term produce is within both, if you look at the statute.
You're right, Your Honor. It is in both. But I do think that agency itself treated those two terms differently. If you look at their frequently asked questions, I believe it's page 735, I believe is the relevant one. It defines theatrical producer separately from a performing arts organization operator. So it suggested that the roles that the entity would play in those two contexts are different. That's what the agency's view was. And we agreed to. It seems that Congress intended to provide broad relief to a large category of industry players. That, to be sure, those with organizational and managerial and production roles, but still a broad category. And it wanted those definitions, as both my client and the government agree, to be interpreted using the accepted industry definition. And I do think there are some relevant differences between theatrical industry, the concert industry, the movie and film industries, and other sort of production.
How do we get to what you say they're looking at as all aspects of production, but then how would you more narrowly define it? You know, again, using the category of produce, because the statute does have commas in that it indicates produce, comma, manages, comma, or hosts live concerts, et cetera,
that's right,
which suggests that each one of those terms could be sufficient to qualify you.
That's right, Your Honor. I think they're all independent, but I also think that ordinarily in statutory construction contexts like this, you'd look at them, they can in, to some extent inform neighboring words. So for example, you know, it might not be the case that anybody who could said to be produce a very small discrete aspect of the show would be equivalent to someone who manages or organizes it. So I think, you know, a word is known by the company it keeps. Produces here suggests that same sort of managerial or supervisory role. But I think the all aspects definition just goes way too far. It just makes no sense in the way that concerts are actually put on.
And the main thing you've identified, so you sort of have two buckets of challenges. One is that they've given a definition of live concert production that is in conflict with the statute, but then you also have to deal with the factual determinations, and you say that they're unsupported or arbitrary. On the first question about the legal, the challenge you make is to the all aspects, that have to ultimate control over all aspects.
It is, Your Honor. We just don't think that's supportable. We don't think it makes sense on its own terms. I can get into that if you like, but it's primarily to the all aspects. We agree that a producer tends to be, again, sort of a supervisory managerial role. We would define it as something more like, again, we think it was SBA's job to define in the first instance, but putting that aside, if we were to define it, it would be something like the entity or entities with organization or managerial control over many significant aspects of a show based on industry understanding. Flexible definition, it's a functional definition. That's actually the way it is used, concert industry.
This
the all aspects problems.
Right, so it's the all aspects, but they also, as I read the SBA, determined that Concert Investors was only responsible for lighting. So there's sort of the definitional side, but also even under a definition that would allow more than one, or it wouldn't have to be all aspects. So do you have to also win a challenge to the reading of the record in order to prevail?
Well, I think we do need to show, Your Honor, that we're not just a mere service provider, but I think it's really important what it means to be just a mere service provider. We accept that the person who is actually hired by Concert Investor to install the rigging, or the person hired by Concert Investor to perform the stage managing function, those are service providers. Those are providing services to eligible producers, artists, promoters, et cetera, those who might be eligible in the statute otherwise. What we do contest with, and what we think the record is overwhelmingly clear on, is that that is not what Concert Investor does. It plays that organizational supervisory role over the concert tours themselves. It is the one that's organizing the tour budget. It is the one that's paying all the invoices for everyone on the show. It's paying the lighting installer. We have a list of invoices on pages 13 and 14 of our brief. It's things like stage managing, graphic design, staging, power generation distribution, audio package, LED package, lighting package, screen media server package. I could go on and on, video crew and equipment, special effects, lasers, smoke generators, et cetera. It would make no sense for us to be a service provider that would then be paying the invoices for all the other service providers on the tour. And as I said before, other than Concert Investor, every other entity was a subcontractor.
Now, is the record sufficient for us to confidently so conclude that every other entity was a subcontractor? There are entities mentioned in those invoices that are subcontractors of Concert Investors, but we don't actually know whether there was some financial guru in some other bucket of activities, whether there was some, music investors, entity that was side by side that could produce a similar record that looks exhaustive. But what would we look to in the record that would help us exclude the unknowns?
Understood, Your Honor, and it's a good question, but I do think there's lots in this record that actually does show that. I think, again, going back to industry usage, I think that's sort of a critical component of this. And I think the government agrees that industry usage is important, but they find industry usage from dictionary definitions, where we've pointed to things that show what the industry, how the industry used those terms. So to answer your question, things like the magazines that described us as a production agency, or said that—
The articles seem to describe you and then some other individuals in the name with somebody that was in charge of the lighting. Was that somebody that was part of Concert Investors or under Concert Investor supervision or contract?
Well, Concert Investor was not only a technical producer in the sense it was paying everyone's salaries and it was hiring the tour staff and it was transporting the equipment from one continent to another. It was also in charge of a lot of the creative elements too. And frankly, I think that's where a lot of this confusion came in. Because Concert Investor does so much for the show, it doesn't just oversee at a very high level the budget. It also does things like get its hands dirty and programs lighting, sound cues.
It confused the
agency to think that's all it was doing. That's not the case.
So there are two magazine articles. One of them is, you don't have handy
I have the sites handy.
A sites.
One was 671 and the other is at 658. Fortunately, one of them, it's just a link to the actual article. And I would encourage you on page, I believe that's the 671. I'll double check. I believe that's the 671. But I encourage you to go to that too, because you could read the whole article. If there's an excerpt of the best paragraph, I think, that says putting it all together and really shows what our client does. But if you go to the actual article itself, there's a link to it in footnote five, I believe, of our opening brief. If you turn to page 41, there's actually an advertisement for a Concert Investor that says full service production agency. And it shows all the things Concert Investor does.
But the article that is reproduced, that's the one that that treats it as sort of here are the sound people and they're the lighting people. And I just was interested in how, and I think that's the way the SBA understood it. And I'm wondering if, you know, what your pushback is on that. That's the article. It appears two different places in the JA.
Yeah. Well, these are magazines called things like Production Lighting, Lights and Staging News. So it's not surprising to us that they would focus on those sort of light and sound intensive. That's what the...
But what I took to be saying, and maybe this is wrong, is that they're attributing the lighting not to Concert Investors, but to somebody else.
Lighting is absolutely attributed to Concert Investor. I think later on in the article, they talk about another person with a sound engineering role.
I'm sorry, I missed
that. That person was not associated with Concert Investor, that person is not a member of Concert Investor. That person was paid by Concert
Investor. Okay, that person was like a subcontractor.
That's right. If you look at, well, I think it's outside of the record, unfortunately. It gets a little bit complicated. I think for the first half of the tour, the artist used its existing sound engineer. Halfway through, that person left, and the Concert Investor hired the sound engineer. But again, it goes to show that sound engineer is the service. That's the contractor providing services to the eligible entities, like the producer.
Earlier, SBA is relying on a dictionary definition of hearing requirement and usage. But if you use the term produce from the dictionary definition, it could mean different things depending on your role. Like if you're in film, if you're in a play,
absolutely,
a concert. Okay. So we're not, when we say all aspects of production, that's even further defined by the particular role.
I think that's right, Your Honor. And I think our main point there is because it's a flexible definition, and that's what even some of the government's sites, such as the Berkeley Music Citation, suggests. It's a flexible one. It's going to depend concert to concert. That's why it's important to look at the industry usage and also, frankly, why the all aspects definition makes no sense, because in that case, there would almost never be a producer, because there's also always an artist who has control over creative aspects and writes the songs and does other important things. There's the venue that actually hosts the concerts that do things like concessions. And then there's the promoter that markets the concert.
And help me with the difference, if at all, here, because this is kind of, as you indicated, a definition that comes later on. And it's generally when we're looking to deference, Chevron, Skidmore, et cetera, there's a little more formality to the process in terms of how any definition or articulation of or interpretation is developed over time.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And I think that, you know, part of this is product of it being sort of a rush process. So the agency did not go through notice and comment rulemaking with respect to the different definitions. And in fact, as we pointed out in our brief, I think if you look at page 735, they adopted a definition of performing arts organization operator that seems to us to conflict with the statutory language. But putting that aside, we don't think they get any deference on the statutory construction issue here. This is a question of law for the court to decide what is the definition of producer. That's how the district court treated it below. I think below they asked for Skidmore deference on that question. I think they've abandoned that on appeal by failing to raise it and ask for it. So I don't think they get any deference on that. With respect to the record, it's substantial evidence review.
And the place that you were, just as a matter of information, helpfully describing the role of the sound engineer, citations in the record that would pin down the Concert Investor's responsibility for music, audio rig,
sure,
kinds of things that SBA thought you weren't responsible for. And I pulled out some sites, but I actually would be guided by sites that you think are the best sites to establish that.
Right. Well, I can give you a few different ones, Your Honor. I think the, we're just actually looking at this. The sound engineer is called Sound Solution, one of the sound engineers. That's on page 677 of the record. Stage manager, that's separate from sound, that's 678. I pulled a couple other invoices too. For example, VER, we paid them for the audio package. That's on 647. We paid someone called PRG Music for audio equipment. That's at JA, that's at 647. The VER was at 643. And then we paid Sound Solutions. That's also in the record elsewhere at 560. So those are just some examples. I think the SBA also found that we were at least a service provider for lighting and sound. Actually, to be clear, I think they said at most, but either way, I think it's common ground that we do at least, for appeal, we do lighting and sound. But I want to go back, Judge Pillard, to your question about what else in the record, because we've talked about the magazine articles. I do think they're quite compelling. And again, I'd urge you to look at that hyperlink and go to page 41, because it says right there in black and white, or actually in full color, that we are we advertise ourselves as a full service production company. And that's way before this grant eligibility requirement. But I would also suggest there's a bunch of other stuff too that just was not considered by SBA. And I think that's really critical. For example, the contract between the Live Nation, which is the promoter, 21 Pilots, the band, and my client, that describes us as providing production services for the concert. Of course, there's the contract between Concert Investor and the band 21 Pilots, which explicitly refers to us. It defines us as producer. And again, there are no other producers.
Page sites.
Sure. The contract is, the 21 Pilots contract is at JA 611 through 626. And if you go to 611, it's right there in black and white. It says Concert Investor, parentheses, capital P, producer, and it's with the band itself. And again, that's what the band hired Concert Investor to do.
And what is your response to SBA's position that you weren't responsible for the music?
Well, I mean, it's true we're not responsible in the sense that, again, we didn't run the soundboard during the show. We didn't write the music. We didn't write the songs for the band. But we were paying we were managing the entire tour budget, and we were paying all the vendors who were doing sound things. So even if we didn't have creative control over certain aspects of the show, which ultimately is within the purview of the artist in a show like this, they can decide when they hire a producer to produce their show, they can decide, we want you to do most aspects, but we have the sound covered. Or we want you to do this, but we already hired Live Nation to do our marketing, to do our promoting, and to sell the tickets. So we don't need you to do that, but we do actually want you to play a creative role in designing our show. And that's what happened here.
So what's your ultimate remedy here? Because you're not agreeing with the definition of producer to include all aspects of production. And so if we were to reverse, that's the definition that's still there. So are you asking us to define what produce is?
Well, again, you're right. This is not a situation where you have to defer to the agency. So I think you can and should adopt a definition that makes sense based on the statutory terms. And again, we have some statutory clues that suggest it requires, it's a broad definition and a flexible one, but it includes some organizational managerial production role, which again describes what my client does. So I think you can and should adopt that definition. And once you've determined that definition is the correct one, then you can reverse the summary judgment ruling and hold that the denial of funding was improper because it was, we met all the eligibility requirements, including the live performing arts operator organization eligibility. Okay.
So in adopting this definition though, because you're asking us to kind of come up with it based on industry usage, perhaps dictionary terms, but would the definition then ensure that, as I spoke about earlier, these other activities, manage, host, et cetera, would have been individually sufficient to meet the criteria so that comma matters.
That's absolutely right, Your Honor. We agree that it matters. There's an or there. I think anybody doing any single one of those functions. And to be clear, we think we also manage tours and we organize tours. We might even host tours, depending on how SBA wanted to define that term. We don't know.
So if that's the case, then could you have just met the definition another way without us defining produce?
Yes, Your Honor. I think you could say that I think one way to resolve this is to say, under any reasonable conception of what those broad terms mean, Concert Investor meets it, or at a minimum, the agency was wrong to deny a Concert Investor's funding. And obviously, in that situation, sometimes the case will be remanded back to the agency. Don't think that is the best course here, at least not a remand without explicit instructions to say, essentially, that this is the sort of entity that Congress had in mind when it was trying to broadly distribute $15 billion worth of pandemic relief funding, just because the history of the case. I think it's been 2.5 years since my client applied for this funding. In those 2.5 years, the company has essentially gone defunct. as its direct competitors who were awarded funding based on very similar and seemingly ad hoc distinctions, I mean, similar responsibilities and yet ad hoc distinctions among them, have been able to actually bid on those major international tours, those multi-continent tours that my client used to produce shows for and no longer can because of the SBA's mistake. So we would urge that rather than sending it back to the agency and having potentially more delay and more errors, at least if there's a remand, it's with clear instructions about what the agency should be focused on, if not just simply an outright, under any reasonable conception, my client title.
And SBA did have a statement going back to whether or not you were responsible for the music. And so do you think that their statement is too broad in the record? And I think I'm thinking about JA site 807 that essentially says it's not even responsible for the music, not responsible for the audio or the instruments. Is your response just that we were, it doesn't mean that we individually did it, but we had the subcontracts?
We were responsible based on our sworn statement to the SBA, based on the other evidence in the record. We were responsible for each and every element of the tour. Obviously, that doesn't mean literally everything, because again, we didn't do marketing. That was Live Nation's job. But we were responsible for all of the production services that the band needed. That's in fact why the band hired us to perform those functions. We are the eligible entity that was paying all of the service providers who were putting on the show, the ones who were running the sound, who were installing the rigging, who were hanging speakers. And again, I think my client actually has a broader role than some producers in the sense that they were also very intimately involved in the creative aspects of the show. That's not always true of a producer. A producer can just be at a remove. It was a hands-on producer, started 14 months before the international tour started, that worked very closely with band to develop not only, you know, just the overall budget, but also all of the creative elements, lighting cues, the special effects. It made it like the spectacular show that it was. So I think there could be situations where a band doesn't do that, only does the technical stuff, and still be considered a producer. It shouldn't be held against my client that it also happened to play this very pivotal creative role in the show, in addition to the managing the overall tour budget and kind of planning.
And instruments were the band's responsibility?
I don't know. I'm guessing the answer is yes. I will see if my colleagues know the answer to that. But again, to be clear, our position is not that we were in ultimate control of all aspects of the show, read literally, just because we think that's nonsensical, would be impossible. So there might be small things like, did we pay for the instruments? No, that's the band. Band took care of that. You can imagine a scenario where the band would say, we really need someone to manage this budget for this massive tour, but we have, I love to do lighting cues. I'm gonna do that myself. To me, that wouldn't mean that you're not a producer. It just means that
it's more custom to the tour, to the band, to the nature of the
absolutely production. Custom is a great word. We use flexible below, but it's flexible. It's gonna depend on the show. That doesn't mean there's no limit. It doesn't mean that anybody who just does anything for the band, the roadie, doesn't qualify as producer under that definition, but kind of read sensibly, we think. I'll make one other quick point, which is that we've been focusing on the word producer, but again, the question is whether one of our principal activities is to produce, manage, or organize. And if doing one of those things, it doesn't matter if you're the capital P producer, like in the musical, The Producers. It matters whether one of your principal activities is to do that on the level that that Congress had in mind. Authorize this $15 billion of funding. So I'm happy to answer any other questions, or I'm happy to pause. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Silverman, proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Bradley Silverman for SBA and the Administrator. SBA reasonably determined that Concert Investor does not produce concerts due to the limited nature of the services that it provides. Now, as a threshold matter, Concert Investor has forfeited the argument that the government's definition is wrong by failing to raise it below. At most, during the summary judgment
when
motion.
When you say failing to raise it, are you talking about articulating a specific argument about it, or is the record sufficient in itself? Because there was certainly a discussion about what it does and the term produce.
the two things.
Okay.
Concert Investor never disputed that the government's definition of produces concerts was wrong. It raised other arguments. It argued that it satisfied that definition, but it never argued that that definition was wrong.
What government definition?
The ultimate control or responsibility for all aspects of
all aspects of production is council's definition. I'll tell you my concern here. That is council's definition. That is not the agency's definition. I do not understand, as I prepared this case, and if you can help me, I'll be grateful. I do not understand what legal standard you think the agency was applying. And don't just say production, because that doesn't tell me anything. Council tried to cover the agency below by saying all aspects of production. That is not the agency's definition. The agency did not send them a letter that endorsed that position. They've never endorsed that position. And as I went through this and looked at the other cases and looked at this case, I have no idea what the legal standard is that is being applied. And normally I go back to my long roots here, administrative cases. Your client will look to see what the legal standard was and then whether it was faithfully applied. There is no legal standard that's been stated here. None.
3 points in response to that, Your Honor. First of all, this is the definition that SBA applied. Now, what SBA did not do was fully flesh it out and to spell it
and
out.
And you agree they never said, and certainly not in the letter to these people, all aspects of production is what we're applying. That's
correct.
Not the agency's view, okay?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead. What's your second point?
Well, on that point, they didn't need to say that. It was enough that they implied the standard and that it is discernible that that is the standard they applied. What they said was that Concert Investor does not produce concerts. And the reason they gave for that was the limited nature of its role.
Let me tell you, as a judge looking at this, what I saw was you on their behalf were telling me some things that they don't do or do, but you're not telling me what it is they should have done. You're telling me what they don't do. And whether it's right or wrong, they contest it. I continue reading the sentences and the paragraphs to try and figure out, okay, maybe they do that, but is that inconsistent with a legal standard that's been stated somewhere? There is no legal standard. There is no legal standard that amplifies the statutory provision. And it shouldn't be our job on review to now figure out what production or whatever word you think is between the two of you think is appropriate, we're supposed to give meaning to it. And we can see by the presentation of this case, there are all kinds of ways to think about that. And there's an expert agency that should have done it.
3 points, Your Honor. Very quickly on the first one, then I'll move on to the second and third point. Very quickly, to say what producing a concert is not naturally implies what producing a concert is. So if providing limited services, limited aspects of the show is not enough to produce a concert, then it follows that producing a concert requires more than just a limited role.
It implies all aspects of production?
That's right.
Of course not. Why does it imply that?
Even if
you're saying what they did intuitively to you seemed too limited, and so you self-servingly say, so the standard must be they have to meet an all aspects of production standard. Says who? The agency never said that. The statute doesn't say that. They say production. It doesn't follow that because the word production is there, that means you must attend to all aspects of production in order to be within the statutory category. Where does it say that?
Two more points, Your Honor. Even if it doesn't
say. You're up to number seven now.
Sorry?
You're up to number 7 point.
Seven and a half, somewhere right there. Even if SBA did not say that, and even if SBA should have said that, any error in failing to say that was harmless because this is the definition, this is the correct answer, this is what SBA.
How do I know that's the correct answer?
Because we've explained it in our brief.
Because you said it in your brief.
This is a legal question, Your Honor. Sorry?
It's an SBA reversed itself with respect to application process.
SBA has made 3 mistakes in granting funds. But as evidence that this is the standard applies, it acknowledged that these were mistakes, that it should not have done that, and has moved to recoup those funds. If SBA was applying no standard here, then it wouldn't say that it made a mistake. It wouldn't try to recover those funds. Only if SBA has a consistent definition that it actually applies across the board can you even say we made a mistake in giving you these funds in the first place?
You're saying a consistent definition. At what time did this definition, was it derived?
I cannot point to a particular moment. What I can say is that SBA was reviewing tens of thousands of applications. In the course of doing this, it formulates an understanding of what this term means and what satisfies it and what doesn't. But even if SBA did not say this and Chenery requires it to have said so, it would do the same thing on remand. Any error would be harmless because this is a pure question
of— I guarantee you if it went back on remand and we said we need to understand what it is you think the statute means, give us a standard, they would not do the same thing. I'm not talking about the result. I'm talking about explaining what it is they think they're applying. And then we would know whether or not their application is fragile.
They would be saying this, Your Honor. But you don't even need to take my word for that because this is a pure question of statutory interpretation. That is when the courts are well equipped to answer. What does the term produces concert means? We did not ask for Chevron deference on that question. We argued this is what the term means.
Look, I don't know where we're going to go with Chevron. I don't know where we're going to end up with Chevron. That's not the issue. But there's no way I can imagine that this court in its administrative law business is ever going to reach a point where we have challenges to agencies' interpretation and applications of statutes, where we ignore what the agency said, because we have to understand how the agency got to the result that it did. So we have to understand what it is the agency thought it was applying. And if the agency doesn't cite a legal standard, then we're not in a position to be able to judge. That's not going to change. That's not about Chevron or anything else. That's the way we have to do business. We have to know what legal standard the agency thought it was applying. That's what's fair to the parties. Parties are entitled to know that. And then they set their cases up accordingly and answer your challenges. You never did it here. And you said you can't cite to anything because it's not there. And I've looked.
Your Honor, the question of what it means to produce concerts is a pure question of law. Whether or not a particular applicant satisfies that standard, that's a mixed question. Whether or not—
Let's go with my comments again.
Okay.
Organize, comma, promote, comma, produce, comma, manage, comma, or host. So aren't those individual buckets that would essentially individually be sufficient enough to meet, you know, the various categories for granting an application?
Yes. Meeting.
So then how do you distinguish the commas, those words between the commas?
Oh, I agree that the commas matter, Your Honor. The fact that there are five different words, and you have produces alongside words like organizes, manage.
Produce can include promote, right?
It can include manage. It's broader. It includes.
Okay, but the point is that if any of these individually could meet it, then why is producing all of a sudden all aspects of?
Well, because Concert Investor only applied on the ground that it produces concerts. If you look at their justification statement, they say they produce concerts. That's the rationale they offer. In fact, Concert Investor emphasizes the opinion of its accountant. Concert Investor places great emphasis on the accountant's words. The accountant says in Concert Investor's submission of its application, Concert Investor's sole business is producing concerts, not managing, not organizing, produces. So at the agency level, the only question put before the agency was whether Concert Investor produces concerts.
If you find that in the paperwork submitted and then, just looking at various articles, just anything that just kind of supports the application, that some of it was actually managing, do they then get to, despite that they applied under producing, get it? Because then they've articulated another individual category for which they could have qualified.
SBA had no obligation to make arguments on
concerts. Let them stand or fail on their own application.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to use it. So the determination was they were a contractor solely for light and sound, not a producer.
That's correct.
And so but reading the record, there's evidence that the SBA doesn't address about being involved in developing creative elements, about retaining equipment needed, including rigging, custom set pieces, special effects, invoicing for power services, submitting an overall custom budget, overseeing set construction, negotiating with vendors, tour staff. How do we account for what looks like, on one reading, a much broader set of functions than what the SBA is crediting?
I would say that Your Honor has just enumerated all the different various aspects of producing the visual elements of a concert. You can describe it succinctly as the visual elements, or you can describe it in
visual and sound elements.
The sound role, if any, of Concert Investor is murky and unclear. Counsel in his turn up here said that Concert Investor is responsible for the music, or at least indirectly responsible for the musical aspects of the show, but that is not in the record. There's the Lighting and Sounds America article describes what Concert Investor does. It describes them producing visual effects of a show, and then it describes a completely different person, sound engineer, who actually is responsible for bringing the music, which is, you know, the most important part of a show, to the audience's ears, and there's no apparent connection between that person and Concert Investor. Now Concert Investor argues that, well, actually, we pay that person responsible, but that's not in the record. At best, you have these cryptic and, frankly, impenetrable invoices.
Wait, but I'm probably looking at the wrong document here, but JA 108, the letter from the SBA said that Concert Investor at best serves the needs of touring concert artists for lighting and sound, designing plots, obtaining subcontractors to install and operate the necessary equipment during a concert. And that's no longer the view of the record that you're operating on, because that's before the appeal.
I think the way to understand the term lighting and sound in the denial letter is, if you look at the FAQs, SBA treats lighting and sound service providers as sort of a bucket category, a general category. So in using the same general term, that is meant just to refer to the general category used in the FAQs, not to say specifically you do lighting and sound.
And the designing plots, obtaining subcontractors and necessary equipment, you see that all as in service of the lighting role.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. These are all different components of lighting, visual effects, to put it more charitably, because they do more than just strobe lights. There's a lot of visuals. It's an impressive set, and no one disputes that. But it's only the visual component. Possibly, and I say possibly because the record is just not clear on this point, some sort of ancillary sound-related function, such as perhaps syncing visuals with music, or some sort of sound, special like sound effects that go along with it. And I have to speculate about that because there's nothing in the record that says what they do. Certainly nothing that suggests that they are responsible for the sound engineer, the person at the audio board, actually is responsible for enabling the audience to hear the music, which is the most important part of a concert.
Now, does your definition of produce require that they originate the idea of the concert and actually approach musicians about performing it?
Like, no, Your Honor.
Because I'm just trying to figure out, when you say all aspects, what is the entering point into that definition?
Ultimately, do they have control, responsibility, whether directly in what they do or in who they supervise and who they can, you know, oversee and countermand for everything that goes into a concert? It's fine for a band or an artist to come to them and say, we want you to produce our concert. You know, that has to start from somewhere. But there can't be broad aspects of the show that they're not responsible for. In addition to the music, which nothing in the record suggests they're responsible for, there's no evidence in the record, and in fact, I believe it's undisputed, that they do not schedule tour dates. They do not book venues. They do not, you know.
No, they're clear that that's Live Nation. Live Nation is the promoter, and they do the venues, and they do the dates.
Yes.
And I recognize that in the, I guess it was the district court oral argument, that SBA had said, this was you, said, you know, the producer might have been Live Nation, or the producer might have been the band, or I guess the producer is just someone else that we haven't heard about.
That's right.
Because it seems to me not persuasive. If we think that it's clearly not Live Nation, it's clearly not the band. And so is the position that there is potentially some other entity?
Potentially. I would say it could be the band. One thing that's important to note about the record here is there is no reason to believe that the record submitted to SBA necessarily would reveal who the producer is.
I appreciate that.
Yes. This is a record that they submitted in support of their application. It's possible, and again, I'm speculating because the record supports nothing more, that it is the band ultimately responsible for that. Sometimes a band will have a production company, either that they hire from someone else or that it's their own company. Taylor Swift, for example, has, I forget the name of it, her own production company that does everything for her shows. So it's not her exactly, but it's a company that the band creates and controls. So that could be the case here.
We've got a lot of information. I appreciate that the information is compiled for purposes of this application, but it seems peculiar that there would be no mention, particularly in industry articles. And, you know, I know those are articles. They're not, you know, sworn declarations, but it would be odd if there was no mention to an actual producer.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. These are materials that this company compiled and submitted and selected, possibly cherry-picked, for the purpose of trying to persuade a government entity that it should receive several million dollars in free cash. It is not surprising that they might be able to find the best evidence that shows that they perform a large role. That doesn't necessarily mean that they actually are responsible for everything.
And the kinds of things that you would ordinarily see that would give you much more confidence that aren't in this application would be more detailed declarations, would be kinds of things.
I don't think the problem is a lack of detail. The problem is the function that they play, the roles that they serve.
But I'm wondering if there is a way that, I appreciate that this was a lot of processing of a lot of the people's money during a short amount of time. And so there, you know, I'm sure that the people at the SBA had, you know, things that gave them more confidence and less. And maybe that's not something that you can speak to, but I'm curious about what makes, and we're only seeing this one.
Yes.
But what makes this look like unconvincing to the administration?
The narrowness of the roles, the functions they play on the tour, not doing the music, not booking the venues, not scheduling tour dates, not having responsibility for security, for any number of different things. If Concert Investor articulated what it does in more detail, I'm not sure that would help. Maybe if it's true, and I say if because the record doesn't support that, if they actually were responsible for the musical aspect of a show, then possibly that could be important. Maybe not, because they still don't seem to actually schedule the venues or book the, you know, schedule the tour dates or book venues. But that is one glaring omission.
But Live Nation does that, and I gather Live Nation does that for a lot of acts.
Well, what I would say is if there is a whole separate entity that is doing that, that sort of suggests that the other entity, Concert Investor, is not responsible. So whatever entity is both retaining Live Nation and Concert Investor, because presumably they're not just coming in here scheduling concerts that, you know, band has not decided to throw yet. Someone is coming and saying, we are retaining you, Live Nation, and we are retaining you, Concert Investor.
To that end, let's assume that Concert Investor doesn't host, promote, manage, or organize. Then what is your definition of produce?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Let's assume that Concert Investor does not host, manage, promote, or organize.
Yes.
Then how do we get to the definition of produce?
I would say it's the same definition that we described, ultimate control over all aspects. And if they have no...
But when you say all aspects, those terms...
Are some aspects.
Okay, let me clarify then. Okay. Concert Investor does not need to personally perform any of those. But it has to be, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, the final decision. Someone else can do these things. You can delegate tasks. You can oversee tasks. But at the end of the day, someone makes the big calls as to what happens in a concert. Is Concert Investor making these calls or someone else making
these
calls?
So producer in that string of definitions, in your view, producer is above manage, organize, host.
I would believe so, with the caveat that because Concert Investor never raised the manage or organization's arguments at the agency level or for the district court, well, they raised it, but then they abandoned it in the reply brief when the government argued they produce concerts and they never said, well, we also manage concerts and organize.
So I think the point is not that they manage, it's that there are other important actors.
Yes.
And you could still be a producer and not be responsible for all aspects, because in fact, this is defined in contradistinction in a list to some other important roles. So the notion that you would be responsible for playing the guitar or for booking, you know, for for something that is actually host or managed is, by in the statutory definition itself, is rebutted.
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. I think that...
But the manager could hire the producer.
I'm sorry?
The manager could hire the producer.
Maybe the managers will the producer because concert...
See, all of your answers are maybe. I mean, that's the thing that's driving me crazy in listening to this, the lack of legal standard. Your first answer to the question that my colleague raised was, you know, what would they have had to put in? You said, well, maybe if they put X in, and then you said, well, I don't know, maybe not. But maybe if they put Y in, that's not a standard. And it's you, it's not even the agency doing it. My view is that's what the agency sits and thinks through and makes the decision. You're sitting before a court of appeals and say, oh, I don't know, maybe it could be a good case for them if they use A and B. And then my colleagues are pointing out that there are several terms here. You're not sure, you're thinking intelligently, well, wait, how should I square that for the court so it sounds reasonable? Makes no sense to me. It's not a legal standard. You're just guessing, and you admitted it by saying, I don't know. That's not a legal standard.
Your Honor, just one more point on this, and we discussed this earlier. The Chenery Doctrine, under which an agency needs to, you can only defend its reasoning that it articulated at the outset, that does not apply to questions of law. That does not apply to questions of...
Counsel, let me tell you, there are more cases that I could begin to count to tell you to support what I'm saying. That is, we need a legal standard that we understand that is reasonable, permissible with law, and enforceable. It got to be comprehensible. Otherwise, the parties who are regulated have nothing to guide them. That's what we look at over and over again, and I know you know that.
Your Honor, I would say that the meaning of produces concerts is sufficiently clear as a matter of ordinary use, as a matter of what that term is understood to mean in the concert industry, that it doesn't need to be spelled out. It goes without saying. When we're in law school, we learn how to perform legal analysis. Issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. That's the way we're used to writing. But an agency doesn't need to do that, certainly not when it is writing thousands of decision letters or making thousands of decisions. It is enough, even if it doesn't spell out the R aspect of IRAC, its analysis.
No, what they normally do is to say we have this statute to enforce and it has this requirement in this section and what we, the agency, think that means, and this is what we're going to apply, and all the cases that are going to start pouring in is this standard. And they never did that. First person who did it is you.
Your Honor, they addressed the statutory standard, Live Performing Arts Organization, they looked at produces, and they said this is why Concert Investor doesn't produce concerts. Of course, they could have said more. An agency always can say more, but that is what they did.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. A few quick points. I think it's pretty clear that under the government's definition, there would be no producer for this concert, given the acknowledged role of the band and of Live Nation. But they admitted below that page JA805, they admitted below that every concert has at least one producer. But clearly here, all these different entities are each having ultimate control over different aspects of the show. That makes no sense. The band hired Concert Producer or Concert Investor to be the producer. And if you look at the agency's own definition of what a promoter does, it's things like on JA735, it's renting the performance site, marketing, collecting gate receipts, and then critically contracting with artists or a production company for the performance. The SBA itself contemplated that there would be multiple entities having ultimate control over a concert. That's point number one. Number two, to your point, Judge Edwards, there is a lot of daylight between saying you're a mere service provider, having ultimate control over all aspects. I think that by itself shows that this is a post hoc definition. There could be someone with 3/4 of control over the concert. That's different from saying you could be not a mere service provider, but have control over most aspects. And that still would not get you to the all aspects definition that they've suggested today. And tellingly, the reason why in district court they adopted that all aspects definition because they were confronted with the SBA's mistakes in reviewing the record and seeing that in fact my client does perform that overall supervisory production role, even if not all aspects literally read. Number three, who is a producer? I think there's been a bunch of questions about whether there might be some other secret producer somewhere. I would point to I think there's a lot of evidence in the record, including the magazine articles that we read, that JA-658 says everyone else was a subcontract, for example. But I would also point you to the sworn statements of both my client and of our CPA. And those are at, let's see, the CPA, I believe, is at 335. I just have this written down. Oh, 355. That's the CPA saying, this is our business. This is the CPA who does the day-to-day work and says, this is what they do. They're in the full service production business, okay? And then my client, JA 572 through 575, wrote a detailed statement to the agency explaining exactly what they do. And in that statement, they would have been committing a federal crime by swearing that they did not perform these roles that they said they were performing. So I urge you to look at that too. I think that's relevant.
Question about who is the producer. Is that generally going to even be a dispute? Like, in other words, for the host, manage, organizer, promoter, is there kind of an agreement about who is the producer versus the manager versus the organizer versus the promoter?
I mean, to be honest, I don't really know if things like manager and organizer are defined roles on a tour. I think what Congress was, producer certainly is. Host, I don't know if it's also a defined role. Promoter also is. So Congress kind of blended some common terms like promoter and producer, essentially, with other just verbs, which leads me to believe it was not seeking someone who is the capital P producer necessarily, but someone who's playing a substantial role in producing the show, including a production company. So that's how I would answer that question. I guess I have one other, unless you have a question, Your Honor, I'll leave with one final point, which is that, you know, at the end of the day, I think at a bare minimum, if there's any questions about what the record shows, it should go back to the agency, just because to the extent there, we would have been able to put in more evidence had we known what the standard was going to be. Unfortunately, we were unable to do that. And I do have sympathy for the rush process that SBA went through. Obviously, they had tons of applications to go through. It was a crazy time. We all remember it. But the question here today is not whether they did a good enough job, and yeah, they made some mistakes. It's whether or not we satisfied the definition. So if they made a mistake before, it should be fixed now. They made a mistake, the question is what to do about it. We think the answer is clear, or it should hold that under any reasonable conception of what a live performing arts organization operator is, my client satisfies that definition. Thank you very much.
Thank you, the case is submitted.